everybody. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and the show is A Progressive Life. And today we're going to talk a little bit about all the things that are going on in the government. But I did want to point out, it was kind of interesting. Yesterday we opened up the lines. And by the way, if you're interested in calling in, the phone number is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-WWGH if you're looking at your phone. Sometimes I have a hard time reading those little tiny letters, but that's 9944. Anyway, yesterday we did a little survey to find out if people were interested in bringing on a show we're probably going to call The Swap Shop. And it'll be what we're looking at doing. And we've kind of set a date right now, which would be the first Thursday in October, which I believe is the 3rd of October. And what we'll do, it'll be on a Thursday. It'll be every Thursday, starting at whenever it starts, 12:15 roughly. And we'll go for 45 minutes, and you can call in and tell us what you want to sell, or tell us you're having a garage sale, or tell us you're looking for something to buy, for that matter. And we'll go for 45 minutes trading the phone numbers. And we'd appreciate it if you did not try to sell your automobiles on this, or airplanes or things like that. We'll have those shows, and I'll do my best to keep the numbers and the items of written down. I'm going to have to keep a log and figure it out and figure out how to do it. But give us a couple of weeks to get good at it. But we'd love to have you think about calling in that first Thursday. It may be kind of slim pickings, but I'll mention it next week on both shows. Next Thursday, I'm going to have Tara Dyer on talking about her run for city council, I believe it is, and so we'll talk about that. And but the following Thursday, it looks like we'll do this every Thursday if we get enough support. If you'd like to let me know what you feel about that, don't forget to give me a call. You can call me anytime. You can call me today. You can call me now, as a matter of fact, 740-383-9944. Well. Anyway, this morning, actually last night, we were given the news that and it might have even been before last night, given the news that a whistleblower had been kind of thwarted and whistleblowers in the government are protected by several rules, laws, apparently this whistleblower's information has been short-stopped by the current administration, which, from what I can understand, and I may be wrong, but from what I listen to on the television, the talking heads, this is absolutely against the law. They cannot stop it. It has to go directly to the, I'm not sure which committee, but one of the Congress's committees. They're supposed to be able to sort it out. Now, apparently, this is of a high enough standard and a dangerous thing. Apparently, somebody, and they're implying that it's the president, made a call giving some sort of assurances to somebody, a promise to somebody, that the person, the whistleblower, says was absolutely, it wasn't something they disagreed with the policy. It was something that was dangerous for the United States of America. So that they're looking into that, but it's kind of been short-stopped right now, which has never happened before, according to the talking heads. It's never been, no whistleblower has ever been thwarted in their legal opportunity to spread this. So anyway, that's what got me going and kind of got me questioning what in the world, how in the world can Trump or Trump supporters, or for that matter, this current regime, and I call it a regime because that's kind of what I feel about it, how can they defend all the different things that are going on in our government right now? I just don't understand it. Maybe you can, and you're more than welcome to call in and explain to me why do we have, and the first thing that popped into my head was, why has a person who is counting all the mistruths, for I think it's the Washington Post, they're up to over 12,000 documented lies that this president has passed on. Now, they don't call them lies. They call them lies and or misinterpretation or something. It's not quite every one of them is a lie, but all of them are incorrect. So anyway, how can that be defended by those? And I try not to get on our current president about this sort of stuff as much as I, in my heart, I sometimes kind of feel. But how in the world can the supporters? When I ran for election, the lady that defeated me was a Republican, and I'd like to ask her, how in the world can she support a president like this? And I do believe that right now the Republicans have some responsibility because they won't do anything about it. How can the supporters and Trump defend how many employees being told or to ignore or defy legal subpoenas? I don't think anybody. Lewandowski came and spoke yesterday, I believe, at the one of the committees for the Congress, and basically said, "I'm not going to tell you the truth. If I don't think you tell me the truth, I'm not going to tell you the truth." That just doesn't seem right. Now, especially amongst a group that claims to be a moral group. The Republican Party, I would assume, claims to be a moral group. That doesn't seem very moral to me. And then when he was questioned later on by a real attorney or by a prosecuting attorney, his story started to crumble a bit. And quite frankly, I have read the Mueller report, and after reading the Mueller report, I will guarantee you there were a lot of things that were claimed that Lewandowski had done, not claimed, but apparently proven that he would not own up to yesterday. Not a very trustworthy person as far as I can see. But quite frankly, I don't understand how anybody can defend anybody in that administration right now. Any of the trustworthy ones have all gone by the wayside. I have a lot of friends that are Republican, and I really believe that most Republicans, or at least the way Republicans used to be, is they stood for fiscal responsibility. That's something I agree with. Even though I'm a liberal, I believe that we have to be fiscally responsible. We have to try to not spend more than we take in. And I think the last time our budget was balanced was under Clinton. And it's hard to budget, to balance the national budget. And I believe that there will be times that we can't, just because we have to borrow from ourselves to pay for, you know, wars. We have to borrow from ourselves to pay for disasters and that sort of thing. And so we're going to have trouble. But my Republican friends, I know, stand for, or at least the ones I talk to, stand for fiscal responsibility, which I think is honorable. I think that's a good thing to stand for. They also stand for rule of law. I agree with that. Law should be honored. And that's one of the things that this lack of support, these people who are subpoenaed, and the president tells them, oh, don't do anything, just ignore it. I think that is a lack of rule of law. And another thing that my friends who are Republicans stand very much for is family values. And if you know anything about me, the most important thing in my life is my family, my children and my wife and my grandchildren. And I just can't imagine that my Republican friends can justify this particular administration. And I'm saying most of the administration. It's very obvious that lies have been told at the behest of this current president, not including the 12,000 supposedly he has passed on. If you got some answers, I would love to hear them. Why do people support this? Why do people support the president's giving of classified information to the Russian officials? We know he did that. Now, I understand the president is allowed to declassify anything he wants to, but it just seems clear to me that if he just on a whim takes the Russians into his Oval Office and just starts shooting his mouth off about some of the things that we are trying to help our allies protect, it may not be against the law, but it certainly is against good taste. It certainly is against the rule of law, even though it's not against the law, but it's against the order of things. He's published photos nationally of classified things that you and I don't need to see, and we probably shouldn't see. And so I find it hard for my when I'm talking with my Republican friends, and quite frankly, many of my Republican friends don't try to defend it anymore. It's just kind of a your side is that way and my side is this way type of thing. Most of them don't try to defend that sort of behavior. As I've told you before, I have everything on my phone, that my planning for my shows, and my phone just decided to turn off, so I have to get it back up again. But how does anyone defend the defiance of our congressional norms and directions when the Constitution tells us that you should do it this way, but we ignore that because we don't like it? That's anti-American, it's anti-Constitution, it's anti-democracy, and yet this particular administration does that quite often. I don't know how they defend that. I think they ignore it, as opposed to defending it. I think they say something like that's fake news, when in fact, if you read the Mueller report, you will find out that most of what they're saying is fake news is proven. that sort of thing. I just don't understand how my friends defend that. How do we defend Trump accepting Putin's admission that he interfered with our elections? Not only did Putin admit to interfering with our elections in, was it Helsinki, wherever it was, he admitted that they had gone into our elections, but he admitted that he wanted President Trump to become president and didn't like Hillary. Now, I don't know how any of my friends can accept that as the right way to govern America. Now, I can hear them right now. They're saying, but Hillary was corrupt. Well, that has been also disproved. But I know that my friends will disagree with the disapproval of that. Where are 32,000 emails? Well, who cares? How many emails have you sent that don't mean anything? Well, my guess is most of the 32,000 don't mean anything, and those that might mean something, I think they have already proved that she did not send any information to anybody that was illegal. And darn it, my phone did it again. Okay. I hope that I don't intend to offend people by my direction. What I intend to do is I'm hoping people will start listening, and I think a lot of people do listen, but I'm hoping that their ears will become critical. If a Democrat tells you up is down, and then your vision and your critical thinking should tell you he's stupid. He's a liar. If a Republican tells you the same thing, it's stupid. They're a liar. But I don't think, I think we need to learn how to listen and actually put some critical thought on into what people say. Don't believe anything either side says without getting it from more than one source. And I don't mean going from one MSNBC announcer to another NBC announcer, or from one Fox News announcer to another news announcer. I mean looking at the maybe some newspaper or some news news that's written in, let's say, The Times or the Washington Post or something like that, and then corroborating it with wherever you saw it on television. But I know that's kind of tough, and there are not too many of us who like to do that. I happen to enjoy looking up whether somebody is telling the truth if I don't think they are. I question most everything that I hear on TV, and you, if you talk to my wife, you'll find out that I can be kind of a pain in the neck about that. I am kind of the devil's advocate on everything, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. Of course I would, because that's the way I am. But I would say only 20 or 30% of the United States population thinks that carefully about it, and that's okay. But don't let people lie to you and tell you something that's an absolute lie, including yours truly. If I'm telling you something that's not true, I'd love to have you call me up and tell me what proof you have the other way, because I may be absolutely wrong on this. Anyway, Putin did admit that he wanted Trump to be the president. And that alone in the past would have sealed the fate that that Trump would never be president again. But I'm not sure how that's going to work out. We'll find out in about 14 months. Compliance with the president and stonewalling. This little note is, why do so many people, the Republican Senate, and for that matter, the Republican Congress, why do they comply with everything the president says? Mitch McConnell stands in the Senate door and won't allow anything, even stuff that all of us, or 90 plus percent of us, want done. He won't allow to come to the floor, and he blames it on the president. That is not the way our government is intended to work. Our government is intended to be divided amongst three groups: the judicial, the Congress, and the executive. The congressional includes the Senate and the Congress, and they're equal. All three of them are intended to be equal. That's the way our forefathers established it, to be equal to each other, to run checks and balance on each other. And right now, we have very few checks and balances that the executive department is allowing themselves to be checked on. And the compliance of the Republican Party, or quite frankly, the cowardice of the Republican Party right now, is something that I don't know how you defend it. The stonewalling of everything that is brought up by the Democratic Party, and the fact that anything that was ever put through by Obama, President Trump tries to do away with. That's kind of, if my child acted like this current president, they would have had to go to their room. How do you defend, how does anyone defend all the emoluments? Now, we never heard about emoluments when I was a kid. The emoluments clause is something that was kind of put in by our forefathers to keep presidents and keep presidents from becoming rich because they were president. How corrupt could a government become if the president was allowed to, let's say, require people go to his hotel to stay and pay him money? It was required to do anything that where the money went directly to the president. Well, that is happening right now. So I don't understand how my Republican friends can defend that. I truly believe, first of all, I think the senators and the Republican Congress people have stuck their head in the sand and are acting in a very cowardly way towards this president, like he could do something against them. Well, maybe he can, and maybe they should think about, let's say he runs against them, or goes when they're being primary, or when they have a primary, he says they shouldn't be the one. Well, they should be brave enough to stand up for that and be understanding enough to think that the general public would follow them. Unfortunately, our general public has become like the lemmings who jump off the cliff. They really don't think, and that's why I keep saying to you, use your brain in a way that you question everything and try to support things that are proven to be true. That is not going on right now. The Mueller report had listed 10 cases of obstruction of justice, five of which were absolutely proven. The other five, I guess there were possibilities that they might not be considered obstruction of justice. Now, obstruction of justice means that you're hiding from doing the right thing. You're hiding what the you're hiding things that you've done that may have stopped justice from being done. And that's exactly what obstruction of justice is. In many cases, it's a felony. In very few cases, it's not a felony, but it has to be at a pretty low level. And most of the things that were in the Mueller report were felonious, I guess you would call it. And they were not, well, this might be true and it might not be true. Five of them were listed and proved and researched, and everything was done that made it very obvious that they were done by the president for his own benefit. They were proven. Read the Mueller report. If you don't read the Mueller report and you start talking about things with no background, you're just letting a continuation of lies continue, and that's all I can say. They are the right now we have an awful lot of people using talking points to quote unquote prove that the president was not obstructing justice. There is another thing that has just become totally obvious with this government, and it happened even before this government when the Republican Party pushed successfully to have I can't remember what the name of it is, well, I'll get back to that. Anyway, what it's come down to is that money is the corrupting method right now of our government. It's not power. It's not sex. It's not anything more than cash. And cash is what is ruling the government. Now, most of the people that are listening to my voice right now are not making enough cash that they could bribe a executive level person in the administration. This is big cash, and the corporations now. Citizens United has made corporations the same as human beings. They have opinions. Corporations. Now let's think about this. How can a corporation be thinking? It is thousands of people, hundreds of people, millions of people working together to get a product out, and that is not a person. If you think that a corporation thinks, well, I think you're wrong. But money has obviously corrupted this particular administration, and I think money has always corrupted administrations. I think you can go to an awful lot of administrations and find out that money has corrupted them. Oh, by the way, I just heard my headphones break up a little bit. We have been having problems with the Wi-Fi in this area, and occasionally we will go off the air. I'm hoping that won't happen during my show. It did during Charlie's show. If we go off, I will keep on talking, and hopefully we'll get back on the air. Give me a call if we do break off. Let's get back to one of the other things that I have a hard time figuring out how the Trump supporters, and Trump can justify the obvious immorality of this president, and quite frankly, many of his surrounded administrators. How in the world can most of our evangelical religious groups support him? They're dominated by people that support a man who admits to abusing a woman, a man who's had three wives, one of which he was carousing with one of them while he was still married to the other. He even mentioned, we heard it on television, he mentioned what he did to women. He's known for walking in on young women while they were changing their clothes because he could, because he owned the whatever it was, the Miss America pageant or whatever it was. That's just a little bit of the immorality. The immorality, I've asked my friends who are very controlled by their religious beliefs, and as you know, I'm an agnostic. I do not believe like they would, but I've asked them, why do you support a man that goes against just about every preaching that you have ever done, or have ever listened to, or ever believed in? And usually the answer is, he gets us judges. Okay, he gets you judges that will go against Roe versus Wade. Now, you've got to stop and think. You may win one chess piece, but you're going to lose 20 other chess pieces in other stuff. You've got to find a way to justify your position other than saying, well, we win one thing. I know a lot of people that really, truly believe that Roe versus Wade is evil. But let's face it, people have had done abortions to themselves or to other people for thousands of years, and it's going to continue to go on. Wouldn't it be better that it's a safe procedure? It's going to be done, so let's keep the people alive that are living right now and doing away with an embryo or whatever. I am not a pro-abortion person. I would always indicate to my daughter, if she had asked me if she should have an abortion, I would have always said to her, let grandma and grandpa take care of the baby and take it to full term. That's what I would have said, because I am not a pro-abortion person, but I am a pro-choice person. I am pro somebody else making the decision when it comes right down to that point. And we do have restrictions on when you can make that decision. 6 weeks is not a time enough. Many women don't even know they're pregnant in the first 6 weeks. So anyway, that we won't get off on that, but most of my evangelical friends ignore all the other stuff that is done in the name of the government, which is corrupt and quite frankly evil as far as I can see, and to get one thing, to get a judge. And now we're finding out that one of the judges they just got that's on the Supreme Court is being investigated because he really we really didn't find out anything about him in his when we investigated him, or lots of things were covered up. So we'll find out more about that. I did mention the idea of the president giving classified information, giving classified photos out. If he can determine what's legal and what's not, or what's classified and what's not classified, how are we to feel assured that he won't give away the farm? Why wouldn't he just say, well, it's okay that Russia take over? And I guess if you want to push it that far, he could say, Come on in, Russia. You can have all of our information because I am declassifying it to you. It just scares the heck out of me. So anyway, we've got recommendations which have gone through because we have a senator, Moscow Mitch, who has decided that he would not allow almost a year would not allow Obama to name a Supreme Court justice, which I never have understood why he could get away with that, but I guess he could because he held the strings of power, and he could get away with it because we allowed him to get away with it. Now we have Attorney General Barr, who completely mischaracterized the Mueller report when he brought it out, and I don't understand how people can't see that sort of what he said about it was frankly a lie. It was not necessarily a lie to the exact crossing the T's and dotting the I's, but it was misrepresenting the facts. It was not representing anything that even sound like what the Mueller report was about when it came out. And again, the only thing I can say to you, if you don't read the Mueller report, you can't talk about it. You can't say. Matter of fact, if you don't read the Mueller report, I find it hard for anybody to justify anything they say about this current administration. Even those who stand in the line that I'm in shouldn't really express their beliefs on what has been done in the name of this particular administration if they don't know what this administration has done. And the fact that Mueller's report completely points out to the obstruction of justice of this current administration, I can't imagine that after this administration is over with, and I'm praying that, well, I don't pray, but I'm hoping that, actually that's not true, I do pray. I give thanks when good things happen, and I guess that's kind of a prayer. And but I don't think by saying to the air that I hope this doesn't happen, I don't think I'm going to stop it. Anyway, I completely threw myself off. Oh, well, it doesn't make any difference. I hope that you will at least be brave enough to question what both sides of the ticket are saying. It's never completely the truth. It's always been filtered by something that somebody believes. And what you're listening to right now is filtered by me and what I believe. Probably what my wife believes. She tells me what to believe. You know, my wife and I were active for the 8 years that Obama was running. And we actually did a lot of the digital analysis. And we found out it was kind of interesting how many, if the husband voted Republican, the wife voted Republican. If the husband voted Democrat, the wife voted Democrat. In my family, I voted Republican for quite a while, and I know darn well my wife's vote would offset mine because she has never voted Republican. Anyway, I hope you use your brains. Don't just sit and listen to whatever talking head you listen to, because most of us listen to what we want to hear and not what we should hear. And I quite often talk with my wife about listening to both sides of the coin. I try to listen. Sometimes it makes me so angry I have to turn it off. But I try to listen to both sides of the coin. And not that I give a complete agreement with the side that I don't agree in, but I try not to run them down. I try to listen and use my brain to figure out whether I believe what they're saying is the honest truth. Anyway, I guess I've rambled on here enough about where we stand right now. I'm going to turn my phone off because it keeps trying to turn me off. And we're going to talk about the idea of having a swap shop show. I know that's quite a jump from what I've been doing on Thursday. Excuse me. I'm about ready to cough. Anyway, I think it'll be fun. A week from today. No, 2 weeks from today on the 3rd of October. We're going to start having, at 12:15, we will start having what we call Swap Shop. And I think people will enjoy it. Judging from the calls I got yesterday, I think I got 6 or 7 calls before I went off the air, and then I got a couple after I went off the air. I did mention, by the way, I mentioned to the boss this morning, I said to him that we have one listener who contacted me after we were off the air and said they liked the idea of the swap shop, but they also wanted to let me know that by the time they get drive up in their driveway at their house, which is well north of Cardington, well north of it, right about the border of the county line, they start losing us. Well, this signal is mandated by the FCC, how much power we're allowed to put out. And so, therefore, we pretty much stick within the boundaries of the county of Marion. We get a little bit outside, and we go north of Upper Sandusky. Quite often, we go fairly far north of Upper Sandusky, which is outside our county lines. But it kind of depends on the day. It kind of depends on the weather and the signal strength at the time. And so, therefore, if you're unable to get us, I'm sorry. It's just going to depend on the weather and the sunspots and which way the weather wants to take the signal that day. So I can't do much about that. What was one of the other questions that we had? I cannot remember. We had a couple questions after I went off the air of things they were interested in the a radio station doing. I brought up two or three things to Scott this morning that had been brought up to me, and I'm sure he will look into it, see if there's anything that we can do to help our listeners out. You know, this is your radio station. I mean, it really comes down to that. If you think that having a progressive life, my show on, is really bad, let the boss know. You can go to our website and you can leave us messages. If you think it's good, you can do the same. I'm not saying please call in and say it's bad. If you're interested, you're always welcome to call this radio station while we're on the air. Now, we only have, that's another problem we are going to have with the Swap Shop show. We only have one line in, so the line you call in on will be busy when you call in. And so people will have to line up and try to call, have to listen to the radio station. And when they hear somebody go off the air, then they can call and I'll be able to take that call. However, we do have a pretty sizable delay, so just keep calling. Our delay is, I don't know, I think it's somewhere between 10 and 20 seconds. And so therefore, make sure you turn your radio off, by the way, or turn it way down if you're going to call in to Swap Shop, because it'll cause feedback and it'll cause us to both get confused if we're listening to me talking 20 seconds in the past, and it will confuse you as well. So make sure when you call in on that Thursday that you turn your radio down. That's why they always tell you to turn your radio down when you call into a TV show, because just about, I would say, 99.99999% of radio stations have at least a 7-second delay, and many have longer delays, and it just throws you way off if you can hear the person's radio going off in the background. And sometimes it actually causes feedback, which is that real high-pitched screeching noise that you hear over the air. So anyway, Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon at 12:15 on the 3rd of October, we will try that experiment. Now, we may go for a few weeks to find out whether it's working. If we don't get any calls, it'll be embarrassing. But if we get only a few calls, we will keep it up, because it takes a while to develop the audience that's going to be calling in. So you might start thinking about things you'd like to try on Swap Shop in 2 weeks. It will be kind of a fun experiment that both you and I will be able to do. I've never done a swap show in my life. Never had a big desire to do one, but I thought it would be good for the radio station, and especially with some of the radio stations in the area cutting that type of service out. We all thought it would be good, and Thursday seems to be a good day because it's before the weekend, which is the time when you can go, you know, if you hear something you want and you call them, and you can say, I can come over on the weekend, and it seems to be more convenient. It also is convenient for those who want to just say, I'm having a garage sale on Friday and Saturday, because it'll be Thursday afternoon and people will hear it. And believe me, a lot of people have asked me, do you think you have very many listeners? Well, if yesterday's call-ins were any indication, I don't get a lot of call-ins. I don't really ask for them on my show. I probably should ask more. But we had 7, maybe 8, if you count the couple that were after. And that's about 1 every 5 minutes, something like that. That indicates that we have several hundreds of people that are listening at any given moment, if not into the thousands of people. So we hope that, and we are garnering more and more listeners because of what some of the local stations have decided to do with their format. So anyway, it's about that time, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday at 12:15 as we bring you a show called A Progressive Life. This is Glenn Coble. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. To legendary attorney and representative of clients such as O.J. Simpson and Dr. Sam Shepard, F. Lee Bailey.
Let's talk about that. The day the verdict came back, Dr. Shepard had been in prison over a decade at that point.
No, he was out on bail by then.
Oh, he was out on bail by then, excuse me.
Yeah, but you're right. He was in prison for 10 years short 15 days.
That being said, when this came back, what was his feeling? What was your feeling that day?
Sam, who was sitting next to me, I had not put him on the stand, partly because he told his story so many times, telling